just a good old boy.
Obama's gonna put you in jail.
Never meaning no harm.
You guys are all gonna go to jail.
Be tall, you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
I'm coming day and night.
Sit down the jams, motherfucker!
This is just a little madball we have every now and then. Two or three times a week, get together. Everybody party and have a good time.
But we tortured some folks.
Hitler had plans.
See through all your lies, Barack Obama, you wicked, wicked devil!
Don't bitch kick him!
Football pussies.
Holy shit, man. That's the other building! That's terrorist!
Other building?
That's terrorist, bro! That's fucking terrorist!
Hello, my little trolls, my little sock puppets.
We are tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the terror mats and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Set.
Tomorrow I'm going to the terror Sharia protest. No Sharia, no terror. Something like that. And I was just thinking about it, like wondering what, you know, people always want to know when you go to something as a reporter, what's your angle? And right away that tells you that they have a limited understanding of how the news works. But in any case, I was considering my approach to the story, but never mind that. It's usually the same approach every time I show up and observe. But I was just thinking, like, I've seen two protest posters, and they keep calling it a protest, even in the text underneath. And like one of them says a Sharia protest, and the other one says terror protest, and both of them are just, you know, pictures of people and of women and those gowns, you know, the black fucking niqab or hijab, or they've got all these different names for the articles of clothing, and I'm not even going to try to learn them because, dude, I never even, like, learned what the word blouse means, so why am I going to go and learn these other things? And blouse is a shirt, I think. But why not just call it a shirt, you know? Anyway. Why not just call it a robe? All right, so the point is, as I was thinking, it's just so unusual that they call it a protest, because you go and protest something when usually when you want your government to make a change, and you're protesting the government or you're protesting the corporation, you know, maybe at worst you're on strike. Like at the beginning of the month, there were those people on strike. That seems to be like a big protest against like a private entity. And in this case, I mean, they're calling it a protest, but it's not against the government, and it's not against a business, but it's just against this concept of terror and Sharia law, which this is kind of the envelope in which they are delivering this hate rally. It's a hate rally, right? I mean, it seems to be anti-Muslim under the guise of, we're just looking out for the ladies here. You know, we're just trying to protect you from Sharia law. And it's just a curious protest because it seems to assign more authority to Islam in general than they actually have. I mean, it's just another religion like Catholicism or Hinduism. It's just these are big institutional religions that are going to do what they're going to do regardless of a protest. So what is it really? The language that I'm reading is very much leaning towards hate rally in the morning. So it's my morning. For everybody else, it's the afternoon. But for me, this is going to be like getting up early in the morning, because my sleep schedule is totally backwards. I'm breaking it in the morning. I'm waking up at 10. Gonna be out by 11, and this event starts at noon. I don't know if they've got any march planned or anything like that, but they're doing it at a university and not a park or anything like that. So this seems to be the strategy of Milo's, and is to like attempt to go to a university where it's generally more left-leaning with this right-wing hate speech planned. And then there's going to be violence against them, and they're going to be able to play the victim card. I predict, I don't know if it's going to be like that, but that's how it's been at Berkeley. So it just seems like if they didn't want to provoke violence or instigate conflict, they would go to the public park like all the other demonstrators. I don't understand why in this case they're choosing to go to a university in Manhattan. Anyway, that's that. We'll come back to this in the morning. All right, and here we are at Grand Central Station, just stepping out. And of course, looking for the telltale signs of a protest or a demonstration, the flashing NYPD vehicles that tend to hang around this shit. It's raining pretty hard, and we're just looking for Milo. It's Milo, right? It's not Milo. It's fucking Milo would be kind of cute, right? But I don't see anything. I'm just in a sea of assholes. Fucking people everywhere bumping into each other. Like, you know, just because it's a little rain coming out of the sky doesn't mean you don't watch where you're going. It's fucking animals. So, I'm following the police traffic because I assume that's where we're all going here. Whoa. Big police bus. Why do they have an NYPD bus? Something else I noticed is it's like no matter how fast you're going, somebody else, it's like always in a bigger hurry. It's like you could be like jogging and a guy will speed walk around you. Yeah, the NYPD bus. All right, I'm seeing more police over here, and I guess I get the feeling that we're getting closer. Sorry if I'm breathing into the microphone. I'm keeping it tucked up close to my face on account of this rain, because it's raining so hard, and it's sort of an expensive recorder, so. You know, I'm also keeping it in the case. Jeez, the rain. It's raining really hard. Like, I don't think this is going to happen with the rain like it is. I mean, I don't think it's going to be... I think it's a little too wet for... Yeah, there's yelling. Okay, I'm getting pretty close to it because that guy was angry. Maybe I'll just ask somebody, like, where the university is. Somebody who's not wearing headphones. Let's see, 3rd, East 42nd. I know I'm on the right street. I just don't know if CUNY is this way. I don't think it's the way I came. I guess I can look at my phone since I'm sitting still. It's going to be a bitch to cover this. 217 is the address. And what are these buildings? I don't see their address listed anywhere. But I do see a lot of flashing lights up here, so I assume it must be like up here where all this mayhem is unfolding. Get a little closer. I'm a little sick today, too.
little old hate sucks, a little under the weather. And I'm out here in the rain. I'm not going to act like I'm sacrificing anything. Yeah, okay, I'm hearing a lot of political talk here. So I think I'm getting close to it. A lot of anger and indignation in these in the tone of their conversations and the content. Somebody just walked by me saying, like, they want, you know, they want freedom, so why are they, like, fucking with other people's? Like, preach it, sister. Okay, there's yelling. There are people standing around. I see police writing citations already. Some people in the press hanging around in the back. I'm going to just walk through this chaos so you can hear it. I'm right between them. I'm between the hate and the non-hate. People have signs that say Islam, Sharia equals death. People are yelling Palestine. I guess it's like right around noon and we're waiting for the celebrity guy to make an appearance. I think a lot of these people just want to see the celebrity troll, but I don't really know. There's a lot of yelling. We'll get closer to the yelling. How you doing? Can I tuck in a little here?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just kind of watching it right now. It's so bizarre to see them standing like 6 feet away from each other, just kind of yelling at each other.
Yeah.
There's an older gentleman repeating fuck Palestine in the direction of the there's a Pepe drawing. Cops are walking around just like, what the fuck?
I'm not like blaming you or mad at you or anything. I'm not upset.
God, you can barely get through this fucking scene. Alright, took a little break to tweet whatever. And I've got this fucking umbrella in my hand, so it's hard to take these pictures in the video. I just walked through and took the video. I mean, this is nuts, man. So I'm just kind of watching. All right, the police are about to tell these people to move, so before she can tell me what to do, I'm just going to walk down the line. Walking down the line, my feet will be a-flying. Walking down the line. I'm not walking that way. Fuck that. It's fucking so cluttered. You can't even use the sidewalk here. This is crazy, man. I see people just walking around trying to do their jobs. Okay, I see them setting up a media tent here on the back of a Ford F-150. And a guy is fucking with an iPad. And getting a podium set up. Some sound equipment. Three microphones attached to the podium there. And a very tired looking... This guy looks like Steve Bannon. But he's, he's just a tech. Honking. In this case, you can't tell if it's honking in support or rage. People are holding flags across the sidewalk to block the sidewalk. A police officer is telling this guy in an orange jacket to, like, stop blocking the sidewalk. They're pushing him. He's indignant. How dare you, he says. You push me as I'm holding this flag across the sidewalk. He's standing right in the middle of the sidewalk, taking up a lot of room. People are just, right up against him. You can hear him saying, how dare you. He's yelling, drive them out, as he holds up a flag to the cops there. This is just so bizarre, man. I've never been to a hate rally before. This is my first... I'm Hate Sec, and this is my first hate rally. Here come the opposition. Some people are just carrying lunch. They have to fall in line with the opposition because he's just trying to get somewhere with his lunch. Previously, the Milo people were yelling at the other people, like, what did George Soros pay you to be here? There's a suspicion that everyone who's here is, like, paid by someone else to be here. And so you hear this yelling. But previously there was the other yelling. How you doing? She's mad because her recorder turned off during the good yelling. There are a few people standing around me just witnessing it the way I am. I feel like really bad today, so I don't know if I've got enough cough drops to last me. But just as a side note, even though we're all dressed for the weather, there are some beautiful fucking women. Like, you can't deny just how many beautiful women there are in this city. It's really a wonderful thing. You know? Doesn't matter that it's raining. They're still beautiful. So, what are you going to do? You know? The journey is the reward in this case. So many people standing around me just... are kind of like me, where they don't... I don't think they quite believe the ridiculousness of what we're seeing. Between both, like, 6 feet between this one group and the other, they're just yelling and repeating expressions at each other. It's just so bizarre, and it's like... the opposite of in the spirit of understanding, or actually like a constructive discourse. And I'm guessing that like the group that set this up expects that might change once Milo appears, if he's going to, I don't know. But right in front of me is a Ford F-150 full of sound and video equipment, ready to start that YouTube live thing. Okay, here we go. I'm getting a bunch of notifications on my phone. I'll check those. The police just said that the first speaker will get here in an hour. So it's about to get like really fucky on this sidewalk. There's a really tired looking newsman across from me. We're all kind of tired and shitty feeling on account of this rain. And also just the general tension is a bit embarrassing to be associated with. Like, I can't stand being around this tension where, like, I don't know, man. It's like the opposite of good communication. And it's really difficult to be a part of it. Like, even as an outsider looking in, as you might imagine. And I don't even want to, like, walk into this fray again where there's so... Because, like, part of it is so many people have umbrellas. Like, if you're in the media, you got to, like, walk up and down, scanning up and down. So this rain is not supposed to let up either. I'll ask somebody kind of what's going on here. I know that I'm underneath a big news building, but I don't fucking, you know, like, I'm still new to the city, and I'm pretty sure that that's on my list of places to walk in and demand my complimentary job, sir. But I don't know yet what that building is. You're probably listening to me and going like, yay, dumb fuck. It's the fucking Fox News building or something. I don't know. There are a lot of people who have, like, you can tell that they've been here and done this. And they're kind of... So I don't feel so bad standing around here with these people. I can feel that I'm losing my voice, so I'll have to use a different range as time goes on. I'll probably get, like, lower and huskier like this, because it's, like, all I can do. This woman is using sharp language. Not potty talk, but just... There's a person, two people, Antifa, wearing masks and all black, and those jack boots or whatever you call them. The NYPD is telling them to keep moving. Keep it moving. You can't stand here. You got to stand behind the barricades. You're blocking the sidewalk. Keep it moving. Dude, it's so impossible to move through there. They're bringing more barriers to try and straighten out this sidewalk situation.
I don't like it. And my phone doesn't work, so I need to stay here.
Top Cack just walks away. Here, something. There's a man in camouflage just walking around. He's got alcohol in his breath, and he says that people are pushing him around. Sorry, I was recording a thing. I didn't mean to address you. You doing all right? What do you make of this?
Well, I'm a graduate of Koenig, so yeah. I'm really upset about what they've done.
I mean, do these people even have anything to do with Koenig?
Well, Saussure has been invited by Koenig to give a commencement speech.
Who was?
Sasur, the woman that, the Sharia woman that they're all objecting
to. Oh, okay.
So this whole event is because Cooney has invited her to give a commencement speech at a city-paid university. And she's pro-Sharia law, she's anti-Israel, and anti-Semite. So people are really pissed off that Cooney did this.
How did she come to this position of prominence?
Well, it's even worse than that. De Blasio had her organize the women's march in New York a month ago.
Right, I saw that.
And she also organized the march in Washington.
Do you have any idea how she got associated with those people?
She's a progressive. Progressive people are out of control. They think that being pro-terrorist is a positive thing. We just can't figure it all out. Universities have gone ballistic. It's just so progressive that they're out of control. That's my take on it. But I'm an old man. What do I know?
I don't know. Well, I'm a young man, and I don't know much. I don't know the difference between progressivism and, like, the Democrats. Like, what's the difference?
Well, it's the left wing of the Democratic Party that believes in anything goes.
And progressives, are they distinguished from that, or...?
No, they're even to the left of that.
Oh, they're more to the left.
Yeah.
Okay, he broke conversation with me. Cooney graduate.
There's a lady up here now talking about PC, wearing a sort of gown. She's really jabbering rapidly, going through her speech very fast. She's already on the third page. Now she's just shuffling the pages around. This is very, very bizarre, man. Is that Cassandra? I think it is. Yeah, let's see if we get a picture of Cassandra. I don't think that's Cassandra. I don't know who the fuck that is. I don't know shit. Like I told that guy. Apparently I saw Tara Fivek, Billy says. I can actually understand people taking issue with a woman who's represents Sharia law. I gotta look into that. Does she really? Because I had never even heard of this lady until now. And now I find out she's, like, leading women's marches. So, you know, it's compelling because that gentleman I just spoke to, being a graduate from CUNY doesn't necessarily give him any credibility, but he did have a way of speaking that... you know, that didn't seem unreasonable. It didn't sound unreasonable. And I mean, does that woman leading the women's march and speaking here necessitate this response? Like, what do these people give a fuck about who speaks at CUNY? That's kind of what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what do they care? So that's why I come back around to, like, what is this really about? I mean, I know you're probably thinking, shut the fuck up and listen to the lady. She'll tell you what it's about, but what is it really about? I just saw the funniest expression on this girl's face. She's like, what the fuck did I just walk through? That's so funny, man. This is fucking bizarre. Whatever file I'm on, it's a real barn burner. She's talking about Soros. That's kind of all I know. A woman is walking up and down the ranks with an American flag, showing it to everyone, just getting rained on like a motherfucker. And it's like, yeah, there's the flag. That is the symbol of our country. Is there a message here? Is there a point of view? All right, so now the big celebrities are starting to come out, and I just got away from it because I don't know, man. I don't think I'm getting anything out of it like these people are, you know? I'm not moved to tears or whatever. And a guy tried to show me yesterday pictures of people with their heads cut off and stuff. Like, this is what they do. And they'll do it to you. And I told him, look, buddy, I was on 4chan in 2004. Okay. Bloody pictures don't shock me or move me to political thought. I need just a little more than a picture of a headless person. You know, as shitty as it is, it's like, what are you so afraid of, man? Like, do you really think that the people sawing off heads are coming out here? And the live-action role players are right in front of me. They're, like, very pleased with themselves. They're like, yeah, that was a good one. That was a good walk up and down. That was a real good walk. They refer to each other as gentlemen. And there's sort of a rank and file among them. They're, okay, one of them has a white supremacy jacket. Some of them have those flags, as you might have noticed from my whatever, my fucking tweets. This is just, like, how do you manage all this stuff, you know, and hold an umbrella too? That's the real trick, isn't it? All right, here we go. Lots of notifications to respond to. You know, I can't get around to all of them. I can't read them all, you know? I don't know how to read. If we're to believe this speaker at the front. Unless you're standing in that pit, you're not properly enlightened. And they all kind of tell each other this, you know? They slap each other on the back, say, good walk. Here's my flag. There's your flag. USA. I don't know, man. I will say this, though. This is a major demonstration in the sense that it's very disruptive. There are a lot of people here. And when I say a lot, I mean a few hundred, maybe 500. Oh, sorry, man. I got in the way of his bike. I'm just gonna walk over here. I was standing here, but I guess I'm in his way. Good lord, that guy's delivering a lot of Chinese food. I really was in his way. I was gonna say to further compare the two events that I've covered so far: the Donald Trump protests in May 4. And then this now in May, what are we on, 26 or something? I don't know the date. Is it the 27th? If so, happy 27th. If not, go fuck yourself. And politics aside, like, look, I don't give a fuck, okay? Jesus Christ, the fucking phone is ringing. New York. Hello, this is James. Hey, let me just step in here where I can hear you. Say it again. No, tomorrow. Now, I'm not available right at this moment. I can, let's see, what time is it? I mean, if you're available later this afternoon, I can probably meet you. Jeez. I'm right in the middle of something right now. I mean, I thought I set up our meeting for tomorrow at 1 p.m. I mean, okay, until what time? I could come as late as 5. Okay, well, I can definitely be there between now and then, and for your sake, sooner rather than later. And okay, well, I live in Williamsburg, and I can call. Is this your cell phone? Okay, unfortunately, I'm not exactly dressed for a job interview right now, but I'm still happy to talk to you. Okay. And, say your name for me, just... Okay, all right. I appreciate your flexibility on that. You know, sorry about the miscommunication there. Okay, bye. Where was I? Fucking standing near this generator, too. This is no good. I'm gonna walk away. Jeez, I want to leave now. This isn't paying. I should just go to where the fucking money is. Follow the money, as they say. Okay, so, yeah, like I was saying before I was interrupted by that phone call, the tone, the overall tone of the thing is just, like, so hostile and negative, and there was a lot of animosity, as you see there. Jeez, is the phone ringing again? All right. Yeah, it's just Twitter. It's a negative, hostile feeling, and, there's a lady, like, fucking live streaming. Dude, there's so much media generated at these pseudo-events, just as a result of them. There go the LARPers again. Live action role play. Choose for Trump. John Podesta is a molester, they say. So, like, as you can see, it's totally different, right? It's these really nuanced, specific chants towards people that, like, if you don't follow the news, at least, you know, every couple of weeks, like, and you don't, like, do this deep research and go onto subreddits and stuff, you're going to be like, John Podesta? What? But I know that if you're listening to this, then you know who those fuckers are. But, I mean, dude, yeah, maybe he diddled some kids, maybe he didn't. It's just interesting that these are the anchor points around which they're able to generate their outrage. You know, this is what they tether to. It's just is it nitpicky? Yeah, it's nitpicky in a way, but it's also like the speakers I heard and if you read this stuff on the internet, the Twitter people and the Reddit folks, it's all these they're making these careful statements where they're obviously. They know, you know, they've got a map now. They know what to say. They know how to phrase it so as not to sound racist or bigoted or whatever. But then you come out here and you see them, like, following black people around, right? Or, like, they'll find a black person who's on their side and, like, hug them really hard and slap them on the back and be like, good to see you, brother. Good to see you, you know? This giant overcompensation so as to say... We're not the racists. You know, maybe you think we are, but look at us. Look, we found one that we like, you know? And it's just it's so obvious that they're being guided by this roadmap. And I mean, you're probably thinking right now, geez, you're being a little hard on him. What about the other side? I've reached a point in the way I think about political discourse where I don't even like to like the other side. What you mean, the only other side, really? Like, is there just one other side? You know, it's just sort of a small way of thinking, and we're here to examine this and primarily this. But now I'm at a point where I really just don't give a fuck anymore. I don't know what drove me to this. Not giving a fuck that I suddenly has just welled up in me. But, you know, I can't ignore a feeling this strong. I really strongly, passionately do not give a fuck anymore. It's because, like I said before, the association with this embarrassing display of inhumanity, subhumanity, whatever. It's just so fucking hard to watch this shit, man. It's just so embarrassing to be a part of it. And I'm not saying, like, you know, those people yelling at the other people are wrong or right. It's just that it's just really, it's a sad, pitiful, embarrassing thing to behold. And I'm over it. I'm over it. Oh, I'm going to go get some medicine while I'm near CVS over here. And some batteries for my electric toothbrush. Look, man, they say, you think it's a gimmick, right? It's just one of those things like, oh, why do I need to electrify everything? It's not a fucking smart brush or anything. But, dude, I'm telling you, get an electric toothbrush, man. It's the one thing that is, it's really, it's not a gimmick. Okay, it's not that much more expensive, and your teeth feel so much cleaner. You will not regret it, dude. It'll add life to your fucking teeth, I swear to God. You're going to notice it, dude. Just pay attention, right? Brush with a normal brush, and then brush with a fucking electric toothbrush. You're going to see such a difference. The difference is night and day. The difference is like walking through that demilitarized zone on the sidewalk and looking at the shoddy, poorly designed Pepe hate signs, and you look over at the other ones at the the mass-produced, well-manufactured uniform signs on the other side, and you're like, hey, one of these is just the toothbrush, and the other one's the electric toothbrush. All right, it's like night and day. So I'll leave you with that. I'm HateSec. This is Chronicle.su Hate Radio, brought to you proudly by Liebel Drucker Incorporated and Dr. Angstrom H. Troubadour, who says, take your Terramax, kids. Keep your eyes to the sky and don't stand too close to them hate speakers. This is Radio Hate.
Anyway, give we that got, smile.
We got this guy who got chokeslammed. You know? You tell him.
He wrote the article reporting this Gian and Fort's connections to this Russia investigation. Like, somehow he is involved in it too by having some kind of business affiliation with
and he knows the trigger words to say to this guy. Right? He's like, so tell him about them CBOs, and he just reaches over and chokeslams him with veins popping out, right?
He, so before he got chokeslammed by that guy, though, like, he had written the story and then, like, walked up to him and was asking follow-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this guy definitely knew who he was and was just instantly triggered.
I've had enough of this.
That's what he said.
Now get out of here. And you hear all the people on the recording going, just leave. Just get out of here.
Yeah, like, give just it his go. Fault. Like, you go lay in that ambulance.
Can you imagine reporting on someone and having it come to that?
I can.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You get in those tense situations
when
all the time.
I met that guy, Mike Weber, and I asked him about the Fourth Amendment, and then I started reporting it, and then I had to go and, like, talk to him more. Dude, it felt hostile, dude. The air was thick.
He was just squeezing his fists, looking for a throat.
And then, you know, to make matters worse, I started, I was adding him on Twitter, and there were pictures of his wife on there and stuff, and I was, like, commenting about his family and shit. I wasn't even saying anything bad, it's just that I was, on one hand, criticizing his legislation, and then, on the other hand, you know, just replying to pictures of his wife in the kitchen. Probably creeped him out, dude. I mean, that's fucking creepy. I might have taken it a little too far there. But
what did you do?
He had pictures of his wife and stuff. I mean, he was a brand new representative. This was his first job in government. It was becoming a state rep.
Yeah.
And and then, like, there I was, you know. This is the stakes, man. And I'm sending him stuff from HateSec on Twitter, and then I'm in person, there I am, like, asking him why he's trying to erode the Fourth Amendment. I literally asked him that, and he goes, I'm not.
Hey, listen. Did you read this? The U.S.-led Syria strike kills relatives of ISIS fighters.
Yes.
They're killing the relatives. What's up with that?
They're going after... I mean, dude, it seems like they don't really care who they kill. I mean, it's...
But the headline makes it seem like the relatives are the target.
It does make it sound like that, but I don't know, man. Just giving them the benefit of the doubt,
we just accidentally bombed your relatives.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, they're accidentally bombing a lot of fucking civilians.
That's true, but... So now they just call them relatives of ISIS anytime they bomb anyone.
That probably puts a good enough veneer on it. There was already that politician who said, like, well, he shouldn't have had a dad who was a terrorist when they killed
the kids. I mean, that's like...
Kids.
Jesus.
They don't, you know, they're not really trying to hide it. Their malice... Because they figured out that they can get away with it. What did they have, 5 people at that one base in Virginia protesting outside of where they fly the drones? There was, you know, there was like 5 or 8 people or something. And they all got arrested. And then, you know, they might have gone back or they might not have.
6 James. Crooked James.
Crooked. Sick James.
Not voting for you.
Oh, man, not with this cough.
I seen you the other day stumbling around. You almost fell over. Just like Hillary right now.
I really get a feel for what she's went through.
Yeah, she caught something like that and had to run for president. And you've got to run for, journalist of New York City.
I'm running for journalist over here.
How's it going?
Pretty well.
Did you get some good work yesterday?
Yeah.
Nice. Were you like interviewing one of your devils?
Yeah, I'm, that's right. That's exactly who it was. Getting ready for my big interview at the end of the month. It's about a week away.
Did you give him the sleepless, rained out business? The inside out shirt?
It was, when you haven't slept like that, you're operating not on your normal level, but on a survival level. Like, where the stakes just feel a little bit higher, but you're also a lot more cool with that because you've already been awake for, 30 hours or something.
Yeah.
And that's how I was feeling. I was really on top of my game because it was just so... over the edge already.
You were in the zone. You were in another state of consciousness.
It's like when you're not trying to get laid and you're really just concentrating on getting fucked up with your friends, and then some hot chicks come around and they pick up on your vibe, right? That you're in a I don't give a fuck kind of person. And like it just goes so much better for you.
Yeah. Rather than trying to badger them and just showing your hand, right?
Yeah. It went the other way.
Yeah.
Where everything just went really smooth.
There you go.
And I was grilling them. Both sides, man.
Grill them good?
Yeah, flipping them. Getting a nice char. Nah, it's just some fucking business freak. These business people, dude.
That's what you... Well, you did you feel like you're... couple years of work came in handy schmoozing with this business dude?
Not really. No. I mean, I know how to talk to him, but I would have known that anyway, I guess.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same.
No. I mean, you mean the job I came away from?
I mean, it's not like you're trying to get his embezzling done or something.
No. I mean, I'm not able to get that close.
You ain't looking for embezzling.
They all grill me, though, on what questions I'm going to ask ahead of time. I'm pretty sure that's not how journalism works, but...
That's how the deal with the devil works.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus. So you have to, like, have your interview prepared to even ask for an interview. Jesus.
That's right. And, so I sat on the email for about 36 hours and then wrote them back. Maybe not that long, but even if you want to ask hard questions, that's gonna make the interview difficult, and that you know that you don't tell them that you're gonna ask them, you can still say everything in a nice way, like you know, and then still get your nasty questions in, and technically you never lied. So you just.
Technically
delivered in this envelope of like
you sure lied in spirit though. You sure lied in spirit though.
I give off this vibe, like people say that you know that they let their defenses down around me because I'm just kind of chill outwardly.
Yeah.
And then I act like I'm just trying to understand, like I just don't get it. I just don't understand. Uh-huh, uh-huh. You know, maybe you could explain it to me a little better. Like, how does it all work? You know, and then they.
Jesus, like you're it's like you're a psychoanalysis, doing some fucking therapy on these people.
In a way. the thing that was really worth the money was that that professor who you met, she gave me this packet on. Body language.
Yeah.
And how to suss out a liar and stuff like that. It was really cool. So you said I caught Taryn Fivek on
twice, yeah.
Okay. I'm starting to get a feel for what she looks like. She doesn't look anything like that fake avatar she uses.
Yeah, that Ayn Rand looking avatar.
It's so ugly, dude.
I know.
It makes ugly, everything she like does on Twitter deal. Ugly, too.
Yeah, I know.
Your avatar really matters. I liked it when Gary was a hand. I've been trying to get him to go back to being a hand. And I'm this raging out cat, you know?
I like the wrinkled, like, 500-year-old tree look I've got going right now.
Yeah, it's sort of in your style, but it's also grotesque.
It's the whole idea.
Yeah. So everything you say has this sort of
disgusting... That picture right next to it.
Kind of... everything you do is like punk rock in your face, spitting in your face kind of...
Well, that's how that cat is, because that cat's about to bite your face off, you know?
Yeah, she's...
You don't pet that cat.
That cat will bite you with its bacteria mouth. Give you a cat scratch fever, which is you know that's a real thing.
Yeah, dude, you can get that shit. Also, you can get parasites from cats. Shit.
Yeah, I read that today.
Yeah.
Cats are just endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, I know. Cat scratch fever. It's not just what's his face getting laid.
You remember when we were tripping and talking about naked mole rats?
Yeah.
And I said, is there no end to how fascinating these creatures are? That was fun. That was such a fun evening.
Fuck yeah.
And it was pitch black. Like, there was no moon. But we still had stars, didn't we?
Yeah.
Middle of July. up in the mountains. There's no better time and place to use that drug.
Did you want to do a show?
Sure.
Tonight?
Well, we've been doing one. I've had it recording.
Oh, how can you put the recorder on without telling me?
Because we were supposed to do a show today, so when you called, I assumed that's what we were doing.
You gotta tell me when you put the recorder on, man.
Yeah, but it changes how you talk.
I know.
But yeah, I'll tell you. We're recording.
You gotta tell me it's my right. I could have you charged.
You should. Have the legal drunken lawyer draw up some papers.
I'm not pushing charges.
Have them come after me.
Those legal choker hyenas will tear your throat out and crush your bones. You know, that's what hyenas do, is they crush bones. They have these jaws that are like a hydraulic press.
They're like, they're one of the strongest bites in the world, maybe the strongest.
Yeah. So these lawyers are going to come at you, eat every scrap of flesh, and then crunch your bones into a powder and eat that too.
Well, you know, it sounds like a quick death. I don't care what they do with my fucking bones.
Yeah. They work quick.
Hyenas are pretty large too.
They use a lot of bribes to get their agenda pushed through the courts.
These fucking lawyers, man.
They got all the money they need.
When I got my pot charge, I talked to the lawyers.
Yeah.
And all of them were like, telling me, you know, pay me $2,000 and I'll do everything I can do to get you off. I said, you can't get me off. They said, why? I explained the circumstance. They said, yeah, I can't get you off. But I hired one anyway and had him on retainer. I didn't use him. I went and I spoke to the prosecutor myself. I told him that I'm trying to move out of that state and get a job up here in New York City. He goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, you're not like these fucking junkies around here. Because we had, it was meth after meth after meth, dude. People stealing TVs out of the nursing home and shit. And then I come up with this bogus pot charge and the prosecutor threw it out.
What a nice guy.
He was a real gent.
I ought to do that next time I get in trouble.
Yeah, you just go.
Just go straight to the prosecutor, getting drunk at the bar, and I'll sit down by him and be like, hey, my man, I'm not like those junkies that you got out there stealing TVs out of houses. I'm a good man.
I'm a good old job. Boy.
I've got a job and money. I take care of the economy.
Yeah, I draw a lot of water in this town.
Jesus.
That's something about being in New York, is you come right up against people with insane wealth.
I see them all the time. They're always walking up and down the streets with these full tuxedo-like work clothes on. And they got their phones right up to their face 24/7, and they're saying, moving forward, I'm going to... And they say all that. They're speaking in this code so that they can say all these things on the street.
Yeah, move you forward know. With that. You're going to move forward. They
these
like to
guys,
move forward.
They're more forward movers. You got a lot of forward movers up there.
A lot of prime movers. To borrow Ayn Rand 5X. So 5X loves Ayn Rand. She asked me what I was doing over there.
No, she doesn't like Ayn Rand. She hates Ayn Rand. She's a communist.
Hey, she asked me what I was doing over there at Cassandra's.
Yeah, what were you doing standing with the cops like that? You want a cop or something?
I didn't. I didn't realize I was standing, dude. I didn't really get a feeling for what I was in until it was time to leave.
Were you that in a daze?
No, it was just, well, it was so crowded on that sidewalk. I mean,
I stood where
I was comfortable and where I could see the speakers, and there was nobody around me for the first hour.
Well, granted, I can understand why you might get confused with Milo on one side and Tanky's on the other, because Milo is going to have all these signs like how not racist and how feminist and how pro-gay, rainbow, colored shit. And how, well, yeah.
Because
like,
I was looking around at the Jewish people around me, and I was like, this is crazy, right? And they would give me this look, right? And then they look back at the stage. I said, holy shit, these guys are taking
it. They were there, too. So a lot of people were there as fans?
Yeah.
More
and
than
Jewish
the count.
People, because this whole thing is like, they're saying that this lady at the college is...
You didn't recognize that Fivek and them were a counter-protest, did you?
Yeah, I did. Of course I did.
Okay. Well, that's... I mean, how could you have been confused then? I think so.
Because I was standing where I thought the neutral fucking people were standing, because there was press around me, too. And that's what...
Yeah.
When I go to these things, I don't like to stand around with the sign yelling. I go to observe and, like, get a better feel for it than if I were to participate, you know?
Right, you're there to report.
Yeah. And so I would kind of just try to make conversation with the people standing around me, and it wasn't until this dude in full camouflage came up to me, I could smell alcohol on his breath, and he was yelling about how somebody aggressed him or something, you know, they told me, and he's just walking around trying to explain shit to everybody around us, and it's like nobody wanted to talk to him, you know?
What did he say to you?
Just that somebody had, like, shoved him or something.
You've got audio of it, right?
Yeah, and...
You ought to edit that in right here.
I mean, that guy was, I don't know if he came through on the speaker or not, because of the direction he was talking and all the shit going on around us. But, yeah, he was, like, frantically going up to anybody who would make eye contact with him, trying to, you know, say that, like...
He was a victim.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, yeah, that's the thing. And then there was this... Okay, so you had the counter-protest against the buildings over there, and they were gated off. And then the other dudes in the pit were gated off. They were standing, like, in the parking lane of the road. That's where the Milo thing was happening. And so I just assumed that because these other people were not in that pit, that they were either neutral or with the counter-protest. And it wasn't until I decided to get out of that gate that I was like, oh, geez, dude, I'm just hanging out with, like, more of these freaks, right? And, I just don't know how you get taken in by this shit. Like, how do you look at those people and the people on the stage and hear this extremist... just crazy ranting, talking about cutting off clits and stuff, and think, like, yeah, this is... I'm probably getting a reasonable, a fair assessment of the situation right here by these people yelling in the rain, right?
Like, well, that's not what they're there for. It's a demonstration. They're there to...
Rally.
Yeah. They're there to yell. They're there to cuss. They're not the real Anonymous. You remember that video where the cop was saying... there's going to be a rally tomorrow. They're here to yell. They're here to cuss. Did you ever hear that?
No.
It was
normal, really.
No, you got to remember that video. It was some sheriff in Kentucky. And
was it 2011?
It was back when KY Anonymous, Derek Lostutter, had...
It's like 12 or 13.
You know what? Hey, you know what? We haven't put him on the list, have we?
No, we haven't.
There we go.
He's Rape Hunter, and we've got all this great
stories. He's got that guy. Thing about him that really, I mean.
Well, let me finish telling you about these people.
Yeah, keep on going.
They, so like I was saying, you had the groups on either side of the sidewalk, and then they, in between those gates was the path where people were just walking, you know, with their food or something from the restaurant back to work and shit. And so you got to keep it moving, you know. Even if you want to stop and film, it's like, no, there are people behind you just trying to walk through too. So, like, all the press were making passes through here, right? But with their cameras and shit. And but not just the press, but you also had this... Do you know what... are you familiar with the PED?
Like a centipede?
Right.
Like Wikipedia? Like
okay, no, you got it right the first time. It's an abbreviation for centipede because of the way that this certain group... remember those guys dressed up like they're live-action role-playing with their plastic helmets and stuff?
Those are the PED?
They refer to each other as the PED. Number one, because when they marched around up and down that aisle where the press were walking and where normal people were walking, they were marching and they had their little Keck flags and shit. Yeah, they're walking like a centipede, like of people walking. But also, because it's come out that Milo has some kind of sympathies for, you know, child boy love or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you think those were...
It now has a double meaning. An ironic, tongue-in-cheek boy diddling. That's the joke.
Dude, those people look like pedos, man.
And that's another thing. Like, these are clearly people who have failed to mature and are still stuck in la-la land where, you know, like, because maybe their maturity is not, like, gone past the age of 15 or something. Eighth grade. Yeah. Sure. It's probably more than a joke.
They were wearing backpacks like they were teenagers in school.
Yeah, and, like...
Not that that's abnormal or anything.
Going through each other's backpacks and stuff, you know, like putting stuff in it, and one would stand still, and the other guy is like rifling around through his backpack and zipping him up, and you're good to go. And they're all looking out for each other in this kind of homoerotic way where they were really, you know, they were sort of frail looking, I remember, and young, you know, young too.
Well, that doesn't, they need to be older to really be.
I mean, it's still pedophilic, but it's just not as gross, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's not gross enough. But actually, that's a great headline that there were pedophiles supporting Milo. And you, the PED, and you know, I think that you sold me that was a big pedophile militant pedophiles marching back and forth like that.
All around, and occasionally they would like...
Yeah, there's your headline, militant pedophiles supporting fake gay Cassandra banging Milo.
There you go, man. I've already written, I guess, about three-quarters of the story, I haven't headlined it yet, so that's it.
You got to put those pedophiles. They're in there already, right?
Yeah, they're in there.
But, well, of course they are.
And I've got screenshots and everything of them planning it, calling each other peeves, and so on.
Damn, dude. Damn, that's some... dank reporting, man.
Well, thank you.
I'm pretty proud of that. I think we got to spread that one pretty far and wide. I think that one will spread.
It'll spread like a taut young butthole.
So it's not going anywhere.
I mean, you can try to force it.
Oh Jesus, that's not. You know, now we're them. They're going to listen to this and start really getting off to it.
Now we're peds.
This is disgusting. No, we're not.
We're not sick motherfuckers.
Thinking about Heather Marsh, right? You know Heather Marsh?
The only true pedophile.
She is the true pedophile because she loves children.
Is she in the books?
Yeah, she's there.
You got her on the...
She would refer to these Milo supporters as pedo-sadists because of the word origin pedophile in Greek. This Greek original means child lover.
Did you hear Milo tell Joe Rogan about his boy love situation?
What do you say? I don't listen to that, Joe Rogan.
You listen to JR?
I don't listen to Joe Rogan, man. I tried. It's just, you know, I don't. I just, it would be like listening to our conversation. I just can't do it, man.
It's, it is kind of like that. And occasionally, what I've noticed is he'll sort of say something snide, and then pause,
really?
And he makes a face, and then he laughs. And now that I've noticed that, I don't just fail to enjoy him. I kind of hate him. But anyway, I mean, he's a good guy, though. And his weed is excellent, the weed that they named after him. But, okay, so the point is Milo explained to Joe Rogan something about boy love, right? And it was, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but I remember sort of the message I walked away with was that something had happened to Milo as a boy. And, you know, when somebody is sexually abused as a child, they themselves have a high likelihood of going on and, you know, doing that behavior themselves. And the way he explained it seems to indicate that, yeah, he was abused as a kid and that he has those proclivities himself, but maybe doesn't act on them. And, like, because he's such a troll, right, because he represents all this ugly stuff that, like, just really has no place in a sensible world, everybody went on the attack against him as being this pedophile and whatever, when in actuality, it was one of the few things that he said that you could listen to and appreciate that he was actually being open and honest about something that is almost never talked about.
But he's talked about it on more than one occasion, though. And sometimes he's come off as sensible, and sometimes he's been very... It's the kind of thing you would say to draw in applause from a peed, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
You know what and I have heard... I've heard both quotations. One, you know, one and then the other. So I don't think it's unfair. I think he's like that guy you saw running around being a victim.
Manipulating
you know?
The media that yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So now that you tell me about that Pete, I'm really kind of in awe.
There's so many facets.
They were marching around dressed like that.
Yeah.
In support of that.
I mean, it was so, like, embarrassing and juvenile. And there were people like
this. They had the Kekistan flag.
Yeah, they had the Kek flag. Which is green and black and white, right?
Right.
And it resembles that other flag that's also green and black and white, but it's...
No, it resembles a Nazi flag.
Oh, okay.
Which is red and white and black.
Oh, just the swastika.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
there's a
picture of Cassie.
There's, no, there is a swastika, not just the swastika, but there's a particular Nazi flag that it is completely based on and altered. I'll show you.
Oh, it's based on the Keck flag?
Okay. The Keck flag is based on the Nazi flag.
There's a green and white Nazi flag?
It was a Nazi war flag. Look up the Nazi war flag, okay?
Yeah.
It's not the colors that...
Because I had never seen that green and white and black before this.
No, look at the Nazi war flag and then look at the Keck flag.
I'm searching it right now. Nazi... War fag.
Yeah.
Nazi war. There's a lot of results for Nazi war crimes.
No, it's you gotta get the flag.
Just the flag, please. Oh, I've gotta prove I'm a human.
What's a Google image search?
Yeah. Now we gotta like pick out all the squares with vehicles.
What the fuck are you doing?
There's like a camper in the background, I guess. Dude, I'm doing a little puzzle. because there's some question as to my authenticity here.
Look, I'll just give you the link, man. For God's sake.
I've almost got the puzzle done. I had to pick out a street sign this time and verify. Alright, Nazi war flag. Here it comes. Yeah, okay. It does sort of resemble that.
What do you mean, sort of? It's the exact motif, except they've changed 4chan symbol for the Iron Cross and 4Ks for a swastika and the green for the red. It's completely based off of it.
Okay.
It's exactly the same motifs.
Well, I mean, I never really got a close look at the flag. You know, I'm not one for flags, really. I kind of see them and avert my eyes.
Well, I'm not a flag sucker either.
And then there was all these people with flags draped over them and shit.
Oh, yeah, draped in Old Glory like it's a piece of clothing. My yeah. God.
Walking around like a fucking wizard with a flag on.
Listen, I sent you the juxtaposed image there. You can see the slight similarities, right?
I have to prove I have eyes. You want me to look at it? I mean, I believe you, dude. I said the word almost because it's just, you know.
That it offends me that you said almost, because that's like putting a distance there.
Yeah, it's so it's non-committal. There.
Yeah, there's not that distance. It's exactly the Nazi, what is it, something Reich's flag. It's the war flag.
I just don't want to take the phone away from my ear.
Right.
And my laptop is off right now.
I think it's originally based on the World War I battle flag. From the...
Derek Lostutter.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Is he in prison?
Let's go back to that. He will be soon. And he'll be there for...
Did he rape?
I guess well, he's not going in there for... They never go in for what they should. I was going on something else. Something that's,
like cyber stalking.
Yeah, no, his was, I'm not sure. I think it's for being an accessory or an accomplice on the Alliance of Barrett Brown.
Now, when Barrett Brown says we're going to look into your kids, that means he's going to dox your family and somebody's going to find out where they go to school. But when Derek Lostutter says he's going to look into your kids, you know.
I get it, yeah. You better call Milo. He's been sentenced to 2 years. Prosecutor says he's a remorseless cyberbully who won't take responsibility for his crime.
I agree with that.
Washington Times. Let's see.
They're sort of a right-wing paper.
Yeah.
Almost.
They're no Washington Post, though. Talk about liberal fascism. Jesus Christ.
The Washington Post is owned by Rupert Murdoch, isn't it?
Yeah.
It gets harder, you know, it's such a well-established paper of record, and yet when you find out these agencies like Vice and Washington Post are both owned by Rupert Murdoch, you wonder, like, okay,
you
how
saw
independent
the former,
is this press?
You saw the Vice's former owner, right? The other day.
Yeah.
Did you get photos of him?
No, I couldn't get a picture of him. It was just, there was a bunch of people with umbrellas standing all around him.
Yeah.
He was like a princess or something. I saw him several times, though, and his hair, man, slicked
McKinnon,
back.
Right? Slicker. He's a Nazi as hell.
Yeah, I mean, that hair was slicked back something fierce, dude. He looked like, you know, like a picture of a guy from World War II, just like some old nameless World War II guy. And I saw him on JR's podcast. He's a libertarian.
Lost Dutter was pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit computer hacking and lied to an FBI investigator involved in the probe.
What a dumb fuck.
Well, that's what Jamie Joe Corn said almost exactly. We've got the audio here.
She said she admitted to lying, but she's just so crazy that she's like, you can't topple her by catching her in a lie. Because everything she says is just an outlandish claim.
Yeah. She's a real Donald Trump of Anonymous.
She's a real lot lizard.
She's settled down. The lot lizard life is over after the trucker revolution fizzled out.
They were going to drive like around the Beltway, remember?
They did that. And she was there to bang General Lee, who created it all.
The General Lee!
Yeah, and then she was there to talk down to them when it was fizzling out and try to bring more in.
I bet they were taking all this guff from her over the CB radio. What's it gonna take?
You can see her. Yeah, oh, I bet she was constantly berating people on the CB.
What do you think her handle was?
Probably on the CB? I don't know how. She probably had some weird, you know, you know how they go.
Well, General Lee was General Lee.
Right.
So she would have been maybe the Bandit or something. Some other kind of reference to pop culture.
Yeah.
They've got all those... they've got Jeb Stuart. Maybe she was Jeb. I used to live in this tall apartment building in Richmond at Stewart Court. And I would go up on the roof, and we'd trip acid up on the roof and drink and stuff. And there's that monument down below, Jeb Stuart on Monument Avenue. And we were so high up, and it was just right there in the middle of the road. Dude, we were showering that motherfucker in broken glass, just bottle after bottle. And we'd go down there and look at his feet. There's all this brown, broken glass at Jeb Stuart's feet. You know, there's like a gate around him, too, so you can't go up and directly fuck with the monument without poking yourself on that sharp fence. But all within that fence was broken glass anyway.
Just pounding beers out of spite for this statue.
Yeah, got wicked drunk. My buddy, one of those nights, fell down and hit his head on the bathtub, and he had to go get stitches. I took him to the emergency room. And our friends came back, and I said, hey, look at Danny. And they're like, what? And we went to his bedroom, and he wasn't responding to us because he shouldn't have even been asleep because he had had a concussion and had his head stitched up. But I pulled his hair apart. I said, look at him. He's got stitches in his head. That we used to get shitty drunk. And Jeb Stuart made us do it.
I don't even know who Jeb Stuart is.
He was just one of these Confederate general dudes that, you know, he didn't get as much fame, but he's the first monument that you see going up Monument Avenue.
Are they going to take those down yet?
Dude, they'll never take them down, man.
Not in Richmond, where it's the fucking capital, right?
Yeah, and it's also, it's called Monument Avenue. You've got these monuments up and down it. It would, number one, it would cost so much. And then number two, like, why deny the history? Like, of course, we're not celebrating these motherfuckers. They're out here to be this grotesque realization that we have a past.
No. No, well, that's how you look at it, but...
I mean, that's what they become eventually. Like, yeah, of
that's
course,
how you
there's
look
some
at
white
it.
Dudes jerking off to them, but... I mean, dude, yeah, there's so many people in the city, man.
The white dudes jerking off to him put them up. They're not
like...
Yeah,
exactly. But that's okay.
You don't see, they're not statues of them whipping slaves. They're statues of them on horseback, yeah. Gloriously leading troops into death, right?
Yeah. And every horse will have its paw up or be up, reared back on two legs or whatever, and it all is according to how that person died in battle.
Right.
Or out of battle. I think it's kind of fascinating. I really don't see the point in taking it down.
Well, the point is that it's offensive, and people see it as a celebration. And it's really, you know, of course you see it in the true aspect. It's kind of a gothic, dark thing, right?
Yeah. And if you want, you can throw your beer bottles at it and stuff and take out your rage on it, fucking spray paint it and shit, deface it, whatever.
They should have a... They should stop cleaning them off and just let people go to town on them forever.
Yeah.
That would be appropriate.
Permanently change them.
They would just become spray paint magnets, you know?
Now that I'm thinking about it, there's one on Monument. It's like one of the last ones that you see. And it's this guy standing over some children. And he supposedly he's like famous for, you know, bringing education and games and stuff to the public school system there in Richmond or something. But he's holding this tennis racket up in one hand and a book in the other, and he's holding them up over his head, right? And the kids are like reaching for him. And it looks like he's trying to keep them away. That's my favorite one.
That's Trump's new education plan right there.
Reach for it. The Reach for It education program.
Yeah. You can't reach it.
You're just not reaching high enough. Reach down to those bootstraps and pull yourself up like a troll science comic.
Yeah. Just pick yourself up by your own two straps.
And little rockets will come out of your boots, and you'll take off and soar magnificently. Are we going to talk about anything else?
I forgot we were doing a show again.
That's good. Those are the best ones.
But now I remember because you said something.
Now we've fucked up the serendipity of this conversation.
We've broken the fourth wall several times.
Speaking of the fourth wall, why does that one have to be invisible where these motherfuckers can listen to us and see us?
It doesn't have to.
We should just have these conversations in a closed environment where nobody else can hear them.
Right, like any normal person does.
Yeah, they're lost forever.
Lost in the wind. Good.
They just bounce off the walls into nothing. I got bare walls, man, and I got no furniture.
You got that poster, put it up.
Yeah.
This is going to be the heat death of the universe.
I wish I could get a poster of that.
Just a black sheet.
Yeah.
And put a piece of text on it that says the heat death of the universe. What do they call that? That's what they call it. Heat death or something?
When I was first learning about space, I was reading, like, not as good science. So I was reading stuff that said that the universe is going to go into a deep freeze or whatever. And then others were saying it was a heat death. And then there was one... that said that time is this thing that just keeps, like, going in a loop. Like, you'll eventually come back around, and, like, say you could survive one time cycle and come back around to the universe's second time cycle, that it just keeps repeating and collapsing and expanding into Big Bang after Big Bang. And, it, you know, nobody, I don't think anybody really knows any of that stuff, but the deep freeze, to me, sounded plausible. But then what is the heat death of the universe?
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay. Well, why do they call it two different things?
The heat death is more to... So I think it's a more technical term having to do with entropy.
But really what's happening is all the stars have been exhausted. And...
Yeah. It's not death by heat. It's the death of the heat.
Oh, okay. Right. I got you. And then eventually it just can't support life anymore. Not a single star left to burn. They're all shrunk down into permanent brown dwarfs and shit.
Yeah, kind of like this show right now. Heat death situation could be avoided. What we can do is build fake stars and gather up all their little heat, jam it together.
Oh,
keep
man.
Us going another billion years, maybe.
And other civilizations detect what we're doing, and they all kind of get in on it and then fight over the territory in the middle.
Yes, kind of like what's going on right now.
Could you imagine?
Sci-fi, yeah.
A fucking intergalactic war over like the one star that's still given.
The last star, yeah. The very last star.
Has anyone ever done that? In a story form or anything?
I've never actually read one or heard of one where there's a last star or just a few stars left and people are just fighting for being close to stars, right?
It would be such a big story because there's all these unimaginable civilizations and modes of travel and shit.
I mean, want to talk about deep future? That's like I've heard of a story where they'll launch a spaceship into the orbit of a black hole, and that will they'll have basically infinite time there. But I don't see where they would get their energy from. I guess they could draw it off of the black hole. I guess that's what they did. I don't know.
So much energy would be coming off of that fucking thing.
I don't think a lot does, though. I thought it just kind of... I don't know how you would harvest it. Maybe you would have to, like... Just from the tidal pull of it, you would have some device that would get tugged and shrink and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess so.
But a black hole is not... It doesn't just exist without sucking shit into it, right? So it's going to be pulling stars in and everything. And they're going to be exploding as they collide with each other before they reach the event horizon. There's going to be a lot of energy around the black hole.
And the thing is, you're trying to ride on into it nice and calm-like, right?
Well, you've got just, stars exploding and shit.
You're coming in there just riding the edge of that event horizon so that you'll get sucked in by the heat death of the universe, right? It'll be a long, long, long time. But all the while, the entire universe is relativistic, going on a different on a different frame than you.
And they they're like, "What the fuck are you doing? We're just waiting on the heat death."
Yes. Well, they'll hear that. You'll send that message out, and it'll take them 100 years to hear it. Right? It'll just be stretched out over 100 years, and from their ship, they'll see just everything going in super fast motion, like. A star, by the time they've been there for a couple thousand years, these stars will just be shooting in like laser beams, getting sucked in instantly, just left and right.
That's so cool.
It'll be like, and then that event horizon, if they haven't calculated it out, they'll get swallowed right up by it.
No, or on board the ship.
Bias. Yeah.
They wouldn't really, they wouldn't notice a difference, would they? Because, relatively speaking, they're all, you know, they're still experiencing things at a normal rate of speed, but everything around them is in fact going.
Yeah, they would see these stars coming in like laser beams. If anybody sent them a message, it would be like, in, it would come so quick, it would just be a burst.
Oh, so on the ship, it would be like as slow as you and me are having this conversation, we could be talking about, hey, look at how the stars are shooting in like laser beams.
Right, right.
But you, our conversation would be going at this normal rate of speed because we're both together.
That's just because of our frame of reference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what, we'd be real close to that event horizon, we'd be traveling, you know, up to, you know, like 3/4 of the speed of light, right? In this tight orbit around this event horizon. And these stars would just be zipping in.
Would you have to dodge them, you think?
I mean, maybe you could. I don't know. The thing is, you wouldn't have time. There would be no way you could react. You'd have to really plan ahead.
Yeah, you would. You'd have to know which stars are coming in and from where.
And when you're that, I mean, remember, in Kerbal, when you're that close to a body like that, it's going to take tremendous energy to move even the slightest amount. You're in, like, the deepest, deepest gravity well there is. And making any movement is just going to be horribly draining.
You could. Not, I don't think you could.
You could. No. Every action has an opposite reaction. But you'd be in this deep gravity well, so it would be like
you'd have to be able to harness those laser, like star explosions.
I don't know that they would. They do explode in Hawking radiation. Maybe you can.
Oh yeah, you can capture that. That jet of energy.
So you'd be set if you were on like a nice polar. You would be going on a polar orbit, or you know, from pole to pole instead of around the direction it spins. And that way, you could grab. You would be flying right through the Hawking radiation constantly.
Which, I mean, you'd have to have a ship capable of not being destroyed by that, too, because it's this tremendous...
Yeah, it is pretty...
radiation.
Well, you're in this really mean spot. Because think about how the universe is going at this incredibly fast rate that you can't... I mean, millennia are going by as we're having this conversation, right?
Yeah.
Once we get really close,
civilizations are rising and falling.
Just as we chit-chat, and how are you going to avoid anything, collect energy, do all this when you're in this kind of
You'd have to have a good computer that already accounted for every star that's going to drop in and where that radiation is going to spew out.
You would have to be, you would probably be the computer because our bodies would just disintegrate.
You know the thing about wormholes that was so disappointing when I was learning about them was the Hawking radiation. Because before I knew about that, there was this big mystery, like, oh, what happens? You know, where does it go? It all falls in and nothing comes out. Like, no, it actually comes out in Hawking radiation. So it's like this big fucking... garbage disposal. You know, it's not like it just goes nowhere, pops out of a wormhole like you can imagine, but it's actually just that jet of Hawking radiation. Because I used to be fascinated by, you know, the wormholes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like their, you know, their theoretical possibility. But then Hawking radiation.
You think that ruins the theory? I think it could happen still.
That a black hole could lead by wormhole into a white hole, like an exit hole?
Yeah. although it may not be like that. It's not something you would really go through so much as just it would be like you would go through it like you would go through a star, right? You wouldn't come out, but you would, your matter and energy would still be there.
Right.
Of course, it's always still there. There's always conservation of mass and energy, right? So, yeah, you'll probably all go into a black hole one day and come out as Hawking radiation, right? And maybe go out into another part of the universe through some kind of white hole. That's plausible.
You gotta wonder, like, how far away could you possibly come out? Because, I mean, it seems like there would have to be some avenue, right? That you don't just get to... It's not...
Maybe it would be its own pocket universe. Like, maybe that's what galaxies are all just pocket universes. And somehow the light makes it across. You know? Because at the center of every galaxy are supermassive black holes, right? Maybe some of them have a white hole in the center.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It'd have to be so far away that we can't detect it.
Well, it could be so far away that the light would have not had time to reach us in the whole length of the universe.
Yeah. So there could be another one out there that's receiving... rather than sending. Jeez. All right, well, so we'll end it there. I'm HateSec. This is Chronicle.su, Hate Radio. You've been listening to Kilgore. And you all go out there and cyberbully somebody and try to make a name for yourself. Because that's the only way to do it right, to come up in this world, is by pushing others down. So,
Jesus.
When I first came to town, they called me the Roving Jewel. Now they've changed their tune, call me Katie Crew. I'm going through the boggy mire and straight way down the road till I come to my heart's desire. If I was where I would be, then I'd be where I am not. Here I am where I must be, where I would be I. Bought me drinks a plenty. Now they've changed their tune and hand me the bottles empty. If I was where